This is James Moore, pastor of New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri, praying this audio message will be a blessing to you. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
So I want to share a message with you today called Steward Your Miracle. Steward Your Miracle. Now, I like to say, and I joke, but I think it might be true, that those who take notes have a better place in heaven than those who don't. So I would encourage you to always grab something to take some notes with, whether it's your phone or piece of paper, just to follow along today. So steward your miracle. Just a few minutes ago, my dad was sharing about giving, tithing, taking care of your finances. And to be honest with you, the only time I've ever heard the word stewardship in my life has been inside of the church. I've never heard anybody talk about stewardship outside of the church. And in the church, stewardship is always connected to this idea of finances, that we need to be good stewards of the money that God's given us, that if there's a blessing, if there's something that God has given us and trusted us, then we need to manage our money. We need to spend it. We need to invest it. We need to donate. We need to give in such a way that honors who God is. And that's a good principle, right? I mean, we believe that to be true. In Proverbs, it says that. There's this verse in Proverbs that says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. So there is this truth that we need to be good stewards of our finances, but I think that we do a great disservice to God when all we do is steward our finances. We're called to steward much, much more. This principle of stewardship is much more encompassing. If the idea is that God has blessed me with these finances and for that reason, I am just managing something that's his, well, wait a second, isn't everything we call ours not really ours? There's a lot of things I call mine, but is it really mine? Like, there's this verse in 1 Timothy, it says that naked I came into the world and guess how I'm leaving? I ain't taking anything with me, right? There's this place that I brought nothing with me when I came into the world and I can't take anything with me when I leave it. So anything that I call mine, this shirt that I call mine, my iPhone that I call mine, my house that I call mine, my car that I call mine, when I die, none of it's going with me. I don't have permanent ownership really of anything. And everything that I own has been produced and created and manufactured from the materials, the resources of the earth. Which is interesting because we also read in Psalms that everything is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. In fact, the world and all its people belong to him. Well, if that's the case, then this idea of stewardship is bigger than finances. I need to steward everything that I am taking care of, whether that's my money or my time, that's been given to me by God. The breath of life is from God. How I spend my energy, how I spend anything that I have, I need to be a good steward of it. I need to care for it in such a way as to honor God. Think about this. In the church for a number of centuries, there was no printing press. There was no way for people to have like a printed Bible. There was no iPhone. So the church said, we need to make sure that we stick to proper beliefs. We want to make sure that we don't become heretics, that we don't begin to believe things that aren't true about God. So what the church did is they created these creeds. There were these declaration statements of what they believed. We don't necessarily do that. There's some churches that still have the liturgy of doing that. But there's two main creeds that came about. There was the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. You maybe have heard of this. The Apostles' Creed starts with, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And then the Nicene Creed starts almost the same way. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. If you stop and think about the fact that God is the creator or the maker of all things, that sort of makes him the owner of all things, which means anything that I call mine, I'm really just borrowing. And I need to care for it as though I am, because it's his. And there's this verse in the Bible that says that one day we're going to stand before God and we have to give an account for how we stewarded this life. So stewardship, this is kind of a big principle. It's a big idea. And here's a definition for you of Christian stewardship. This is, I like this, managing or handling everything God brings into your life in a way that honors or credits him. Isn't that good? That's what Christian stewardship is. I'm going to handle everything that God has brought into my life in such a way that gives him credit. The Olsons we're honoring today, they have stewarded their life in such a way as to invest into the church. We used to have a midweek service. We had a Wednesday night service here, and Josh would be our worship leader. And so he took time out of his work week to sit down with an acoustic guitar, to work out some songs, to figure out how to sing them, how to play them, what key to put them in, and then put together an arrangement so that we could then together, as we corporately came together, worship the Lord. He would show up early, sometimes skipping dinner, coming straight from work, so that we could participate in that. He was stewarding his time in such a way that gave God credit. We are all called to do that very same thing. So today I want to talk about this idea of steward your miracle. And so now this gets fun because some of you are like, hey, Pastor Alex, I don't have a miracle. But I'm going to suggest that maybe, just maybe, you do. So what is a miracle? And do you even believe that miracles are possible? I think that most people believe that miracles are possible. They just don't think that they actually happen to them. Like in theory, yeah, God can do anything. But then how has God done anything in your life? That's when people start to be like, I don't know. I don't know. I think he did something in somebody else's life, but not my life. So can we move beyond miracles being possible to actually happening in our own lives? I think that we possibly can. Let's see if we can define what a miracle is. I'm struggling to figure out how to define this, so I went back to a college textbook and here you go. This is college for you. A striking and religiously significant intervention of God in the system of natural causes. This is why you didn't want to attend Bible college. Think about it this way. A miracle is any time that there is a supernatural force that takes place and overrides natural things. Right? So like in the natural, it didn't seem like it was ever going to happen, but then it did. Like something beyond what we could see, something beyond what we understood, something beyond what was in natural law. Something came in, it intersected the natural things and it changed something. There was something that was beyond what the doctors could explain. There was something beyond what it made sense to you. It just doesn't make sense how this would work because in the natural it makes no sense. But we then just say, no, that is a miracle. And so if we are going to embrace miracles, that means that we're embracing that there's something beyond the natural world that we see. We're embracing a supernatural world. And for us as believers of the Bible and of Jesus, we believe that God is that supernatural force, that behind every true miracle stands God. He is the God of miracles. And so for you and I think that we have to realize that God is at work in our lives. We don't always identify him. We don't always see him as he really is. But he's working. He's doing things supernaturally that only God can do. Too often we're just distracted and naive and we're caught up in the things of this world that we miss what God's doing. But in the Bible, we see miracle after miracle after miracle, especially in the life of Jesus. Just think with me for a minute about the miracles that are in the Bible. I mean, we have like Old Testament miracles, right? Like there's Moses and the Red Sea parts. You know, there's food falling from the sky for people to eat called manna. That's kind of weird. You got Moses hitting a rock with a stick and like water's coming out of a rock. Never seen that happen. You know, there's a number of miracles. You got Jonah getting swallowed by a big fish. You've got all sorts of things. You got David taking down Goliath. What in the world? That isn't in the natural. That ain't going to happen. Like, we have all of these supernatural things. Then we get to Jesus' life, and you have, like, people who are cripples. There's the man who was by the pool who wanted to be healed, but he couldn't be healed. And so Jesus comes to him and says, why don't you just stand up, roll up your mat, and walk? And so in John chapter 5, we read that the guy stood up, rolled up his mat, and took off. Like, we see people who are blind calling out to Jesus, Jesus, heal me. And what does Jesus do? Miraculously, somebody who was born blind, it can now see. We have people who were deaf, their ears have been opened. We have all of these miracles. You got like Jesus' best friend, Lazarus, who died. And he's like, hey, buddy, come on, get out of that grave. What? That's not natural. That's not normal. But that's who Jesus is. He's turning water into wine. We have so many of these different miracles. How about when they came to arrest Jesus and like somebody got happy with their sword and cut off the guy's ear? And Jesus is like, hang on a second. And he puts the ear back on the guy. What? That ain't normal. That ain't natural. That's something weird. That's supernatural. So we see that God is a supernatural, miracle-working God. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means that if he was a miracle-working God in the past, he is still a miracle-working God today. But what's our problem? Why don't we see it? I think it's because I like John Newton better than Einstein. Let me explain. John Newton, remember, he was the guy that was sitting under the tree and the apple hit him, and he was like, hey, let's come up with the laws of thermodynamics. An object in motion remains in motion. He was the guy who had the three laws of thermodynamics. He said, you know what? Our universe is ordered, and it's structured, and everything fits in its own place. And there is a truth to that, that the world is ordered. But then Einstein shows up, 1905, and he says, you know what? I got a theory for you, the theory of relativity. Well, wait a second. Everything's relative? What happened to the structure? What happened to the firmness of this? I like John Newton. Everything was fixed. I know what to expect. It's all there. I can control it to some degree. Nothing's going to happen outside of what I understand. But then Einstein's like, no, it's kind of all relative. And then like fast forward, you got like quantum theory, and like it's even less firm than we ever thought. I, as a person, like John Newton's way of thinking about life. I like everything to be structured and ordered and to have a place. And that way, I don't have to worry about it getting weird, right? And so then if something weird does happen, what do I do? Well, there's got to be a reason for it. And I try to figure out what law was still there. Like, there's no violation of any law. These laws are, like, supreme. They're almost, like, divine. I have the laws that John Newton came up with, thermodynamics and of reality. It's got to, that's real. I don't know what God's doing. God doesn't mess with reality, right? Or does he? Oh, wait a second. He spoke reality into existence. That's rough. That means he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and not violate any law. I don't like that. He's like a loose cannon. He can do anything he wants. But he's not a loose cannon. He's the God who created it and ordered it and structured it and understands it better than we do. And we're having further revelations of it. And so it's great to see science and how it's beginning to understand what God originally created. But we so often don't recognize miracles in our life because when something happens and God does move in our life, we just want to say, no, I think there's a natural cause and explanation for it. And we have to be careful. Because if we're praying and we're asking God for a miracle and then the miracle comes, but then we say, nope, that was just natural causes and not God, we are robbing God of glory. Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to miss what God's doing, and I don't want to be asking for God to move in my life and then when he does, act like he didn't. That's I think, where I have been a lot. And so there's this tension, you know, and I want God to move, but I also kind of want to explain it because I came from this Western culture in which there's a reason for everything and there's a cause and effect. But God is bigger than our world. He's bigger than what we do. And so supernatural acts in the natural is a miracle. Anytime we see God supernaturally move and do something beyond what fits in the natural, guess what? That's a miracle. So let me help you. If you are a Christian, guess what? You've experienced a miracle. In your natural life, you were messed up, and there was no hope for you. You weren't good enough. You weren't disciplined enough to be better. You couldn't fix yourself. You couldn't get rid of the shame. You couldn't get rid of the sin. And a lot of you, the more you tried to do right, the worse it got. But somehow or another, there was a supernatural act from a God who loved you, who intervened. He stepped into your world and presented hope to you so that you could receive salvation. And if you said yes to Jesus, you embraced a miracle. Do you believe in miracles? If you don't believe in miracles, then you don't believe in Christianity, because Christianity is based upon a miracle. There was this guy named Jesus, and he died, and 3 days later, he came back to life. FYI, that's a miracle. You can't explain it. If you try, like, no, he didn't really die. Well, okay, then that kind of undermines the whole thing. No, he really did die and he came back to life. That's the foundation of what we believe. Some of you are like, ah, that's so weird. I know. It's a supernatural God we serve. And the fact that that same God that raised Jesus from the dead and resurrected him, seated him at the right hand of God the Father, that same God is reaching out and calling to you. And he wants a relationship with you. And if you've said yes, you have experienced a miracle. Now, what's so good about our God is that he doesn't just stop with one miracle. There's so many more things that he does, but so often we don't recognize it. And so some of you have prayed for healing. And when you got healing, you were like, well, it's probably just the doctors and the medicine. Well, wait a second. Was it? I mean, I think God can use all those things to help. But if God didn't want you to be healed, then guess what? You ain't getting healed. There's so many things that God does that we sometimes don't recognize. And so for us, if we are to steward everything that God has provided for us, everything that God has given to us, when it comes to miracles in the supernatural things that God does in our world, we need to steward those well. Which begs the question, why would God do a miracle in your life? Why would he do that? Well, because he loves me. Yeah, for sure. But can we expand on that? Why would he do a miracle in your life? I think every miracle that God does, whether we're looking in the Bible, at Scripture, and seeing how Jesus interacted with people, or if you have your personal story of how God moved in your life, God stepped into your world to try to better your life. If I'm a cripple and I can't walk and I cry out to God to heal me and he heals me, guess what? My life just got better. Now, is it permanent? Every person Jesus healed eventually died. They're not still walking around. Spoiler alert. If you receive a miracle, you need to realize that it's just a temporary thing. It's a temporary healing. Like, you're eventually still going to die. Guess what? Lazarus got raised from the dead. Lazarus still isn't walking around. He eventually got sick again, and he didn't get healed that time, and he died. So we need to be careful, because sometimes you get into, like, the prosperity gospel, and God's going to always give you health. No. I mean, history tells us otherwise. But it doesn't mean that he can't give you a miracle, and he can't give you health, and he can't extend your life, and he can't cure cancer. It doesn't mean he can't do anything. He can do anything. But there's also a place in which it's appointed, we're all not supposed to live in this state of fallenness forever. Like, we get to graduate once we get out of this body. Life gets better. But we forget. But supernatural things. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to give you just a few points here, and remembering the children in the basement and the children's workers, on how to steward your miracle. I want to give you four steps on how to steward your miracle. So number one, if you're going to steward your miracle, you have to get yourself a miracle, okay? You can't steward it if you ain't got one, all right? And if you need a miracle, there's only one place to get it. You have to go to the God of miracles. There's not a miracle anywhere else. The tarot card readings, the supernatural, the mediums, it doesn't work, okay? If you need a true miracle, you need to go to the God of miracles, the only one who supernaturally can intervene, who loves you, cares about you, and wants to have a relationship with you. Now, the miracle that is promised to you is salvation. All you got to do is open it. It's like a present. It's a gift. It's in front of you. It's just waiting to be opened. All you have to do is embrace it. Now, there's other miracles that may come after you open that initial gift. There may be some miracles that God did to prepare you to get to that place to where you would want to open that gift. Some of you, I know, have stories of there's no reason you should be alive today if it wasn't for the grace of God. Guess what? That's a miracle. There's a supernatural act. Some of you, I know your story. You were alcoholic so bad that I don't know how you're still alive. But you somehow or another are still here because that's a miracle, because God loved you and he held off your own natural results of your own actions so that you could embrace something more. So here's the deal. If you're going to steward your miracle, you first got to have a miracle. You got to get it, okay? And then the second thing seems a little bit redundant, but this is important. You have to embrace the miracle. Just because you got the miracle, if you don't call it a miracle, it doesn't count. Like, you can't steward it. Like, you have to actually embrace it. Let me tell you my personal story. At the end of 2019, I found my body not working right. Doctors sent me to Mayo Clinic because they said, we don't know what's going on with you. We've done all the MRIs and lumbar punctures, and those are a lot of fun, by the way. We did all that stuff, and we don't know what's going on with your body. And so I got sent up there to get figured out what's going on. And I got done with a week up there, and they said, man, we know what you don't got, but we don't know what you got. Well, aren't you guys supposed to be the experts? Where do I go from here? Well, we're just going to wait and see. Okay. I couldn't walk correctly. A lot of you guys know I coach at a public high school, and for the first time in my life, I couldn't run with my athletes. I'm having a hard time walking up and down stairs. We had a baby in December, and I'm afraid I'm going to fall down holding the baby. You ever had that? That's the scariest thing ever. I don't want to hurt this newborn baby, but I'm not sure my legs are going to hold up. That's a scary place to be. That's not fun, and nobody knows what's going on with your body. Of course, your wife, you know, she's freaking out. She's like, you know, the problem is that she WebMDs it, you know, so I'm going to end up with the worst cancer known to mankind, you know, so you're freaking out. But I had this year or so of not knowing what's going on. And so during that year, I'm praying because I'm a Christian, and I know that God loves me. And I know that God could have prevented this from happening, but he's allowed it to happen. So I'm at this weird place of like, God, you are still good. And maybe you have a purpose for me having this that's beyond what I can see and understand right now. And I don't want to miss what that is. And so, God, if it's better for me to not be able to run and have balance issues and to have this limp that everybody can physically see in my life, if, God, that will somehow bring you glory, then I will limp and struggle the rest of my life for your glory. But I said, God, if you want to know what I would like, I would be up for you to heal me. And I felt as though in that moment there was a challenge to me as a Christian. And it's not like an audible voice or anything, but I had this sense that it was like God saying, but if I healed you, would you give me as much glory than if you limped for the next 50 years? I still wanted the healing, but there was a part of me that said, you know what? I'm not so sure that if God healed me in this moment in 2021, that I would continue to rock that story and tell others about the miracle of how good God is for the next 50 years. I think that there's a place in me that I would tend to just kind of move on. It would become normal, and I would say, hey, it's just life. And I would be looking for some other miracle, and I would move past what God did. And so it was this weird place in my prayers because I want my life to be about God's glory. So I said, God, I'm not sure if I would give you more glory if I was healed. I want to, but I'm not sure I would. And so my attitude became, God, you know best, and you know really better than I do. If it's better to not heal me, don't heal me, because I'm all about bringing you glory. And if the healing will happen, by George, here we go. Help me to champion the story of how great you are. So guess what happens? We got to fast forward the story a little bit. June of this year, I go back to Mayo Clinic. I'd been up there three times prior to that. And this time they did an MRI and they said, Alex Moore, the lesions that are inside of your spine are no longer active. In fact, they're all healed up. Say what? Like 100% healed? They're like, yeah, we can still see scarring there, but it's not a thing. Now, you know what the challenge is? Before I went in June, back in February, they put me on some medicine. Oh, was it really God or was it the medicine? I have to choose to embrace the miracle. I mean, at the end of the day, the doctors didn't even know if the medicine was going to do anything. They said, what you have, like, they thought I had MS. They told me good news. They said, good news, you don't have MS. I was like, let's go. They said, you have something more rare. Not cool, guys. So they put me on, they said, we don't have any standard of treatment for what we think that you might have. That's a really definitive statement. Thank you, doctor. We don't have any standard care of treatment for what we think you might have, but let's try this. And I think that God used that to allow me this track season, this cross-country season. I was able to run again. In fact, yesterday, I chose to run a marathon. Now, if you're wondering if he's got some balance issues, it's not balance issues. My legs are shot. I mean, I'm less than 24 hours out from running 26 miles. And if you've never ran 26 miles, it does some funky stuff to your body, and it is not cool. I'm hurting. All right, so here's the deal. Get yourself a miracle. If you're going to steward the miracle, and then you have to embrace it. You have to call it that. And then number three, you got to celebrate the miracle. You say, why did you run a marathon? I don't like running that far. Nobody really should. You know, running around the block's fun. Running a couple miles is fun. Running 10 miles, that's even cool. 26, not cool. No matter who you are, not a cool thing. So I said, you know what? I've told this to teenagers for years. The decisions you make today determine the stories you tell tomorrow. I love that. So then I'm like, well, guess what? Mayo Clinic said I'm all healed up. How cool would the story be in 2022 to say that the year they said you're healed, you ran a marathon? I was like, that would be pretty cool. So I signed up for a marathon. I went and ran it, and I did it as a celebration of what God had done in my life. How are you celebrating the miracle? See, a year ago, there was no way I could have ran a marathon. No matter how hard I tried, I physically was unable to do it. My neurological system was messed up. I could not have done it. But out of a place of I want to worship and celebrate what God's done, I'm going to do something that now that I couldn't have done prior to the miracle. And so I went and ran a marathon. Incredible. I hated every minute of it, but it was great. I got it done. And the worst part was that my legs cramped up on me. I don't know if you've ever had your legs cramp up on you when you're 7 miles from the finish line and you're committed to getting to the finish line. So I hobbled 7 miles to get to the finish line. And you know what? I didn't complain. You know what I did at mile 20, which is crazy to even think about, 20 miles in. You know, we're 3 hours and 5 minutes into the run. I pulled out my phone and I turned on some worship music. I worship God in the pain, in the struggle. Why? Because he did a miracle in my life. And I want to celebrate how great my God is. And so, yeah, my legs are messed up today, but they're going to heal. And I got to worship God. And it took me longer to finish than I wanted to. But you know what? I did something I couldn't have done without God's intervention. So steward your miracle. What do you have to do? You got to get yourself a miracle. Got to go to the God of miracles. Then you got to embrace it. You got to acknowledge it was a miracle. Call it what it is. There's a little act of faith in there. You're going to have to get past your own doubts. And then you got to celebrate it. If you don't celebrate it, that's like when somebody gives you a gift and you never say thank you. What kind of ungrateful person are you? Like God did a miracle and you're like, No, you've got to celebrate the miracle. And the fourth and final thing you need to do if you're going to steward your miracle is you got to tell your miracle story. You can't keep it private. You can't keep it quiet. And I know you play mind games. You're like, yeah, but if I do that, people are just going to think I'm prideful. Like, hey, look at me. This is what God did in my life. No, it's not about you. Quit thinking it's about you. Tell your miracle story because it's about your miracle God, not about you. It's about the giver of gifts. It's not about you on the receiving end of it. He is a good God, and he is full of love, not just for you, but for everybody. And if he's done a miracle in your life, guess what? He can do a miracle in someone else's life. And our God's not far away. He's not distant. He's not far off. No, he's here now, and he's the same God. And there's so many people that need hope because when they look at life just in the natural, it's discouraging. It's depressing. There's no hope. It doesn't look like anything's going to change. But we serve a God who can intervene, who can change things in an instant. Can we become people more of faith than of sight? See, the opposite of living by faith is living by sight. Can we learn to live in faith, believing in what we cannot see? That's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be the type of Christian who stewards what God has given to him. And so I'm sharing my story with you to encourage you to steward your miracle. If you don't have a story of God healing or doing something like that, you need to steward the miracle of your own salvation. How are you stewarding it? How are you helping others know about how awesome your God is and what he can do? You've got to learn to tell your story. And some of you are like, I don't know how to tell my story. Just start trying. Start with your family. That should be the easiest place to start. If you can't tell your friends, tell your family, right? Because they love you no matter what. Right, Callie? So I had some teenagers the other day that I met with, and I knew their parents were praying for their salvation. And so then I'm meeting with the teenagers, and I'm like, hey, what do you believe about God? Where are you at? And they're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm like, well, why don't you tell somebody? They're like, well, I said, that's not English. What are you saying? I said, listen, we're called to be a light in the world and to tell our friends about Jesus. And you have no hope of telling your friends about Jesus if you can't even tell your parents about Jesus, like that you love him and that you've been changed by him. And so it was funny because they drug their feet for a couple weeks, but eventually they came and they talked to their parents. I don't know what the story was like. I wasn't in the room, but I can imagine. That would be a highlight moment that I would keep in my memory banks for years to come. Who can you tell your story to? It's not about you. It's about your God of miracles. He saved you. He loves you. And he loves the rest of the world. And he's delaying his return so that more might come to know him. So will you steward your miracle? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, we thank you that you love us. You are better to us than we deserve. Lord, in our lives, we have been on the receiving end of your supernatural love. It's gone beyond what we understand. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to identify the moments in our life, in our history, in which God, you have moved, that there has been a miracle. And Lord, may we not waste those miracles, but Lord, may we steward them in such a way as to give you the credit, that we would honor you. Help us, Lord, to embrace it, to celebrate it, and to have the confidence and the boldness to share it. We thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your activity in our life. Thank you for being close and always near. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.